Canto 26. Florence, rejoice, for you are grown so great, your wings beat proudly over land and sea, and even hell proclaims your rich estate, speaking your name abroad, your destiny. Among your citizens I just found five to shame me that I'd shared their place of birth. Their skill at theft, when they were still alive, brought you no honor. What their schemes were worth you'll find, if near the dawn our dreams come true, when Prato rises up against your greed, a craving felt by other places too. The sooner done the better, and indeed, done years ago, it had been overdue. It must be done, or it will weigh the more on me as I grow older. We moved then, and on the stairs the rocks had made before for our descent, my leader climbed again and drew me up. We went the winding way, among the rocks and splinters, and the foot made no advance without the hand in play. I grieved then, and I grieve now, when I put my mind to what I saw, and I rein in my powers more than usual, lest they run where virtue guides them not, and I begin to curse the gift my lucky star, or one yet higher, gave me. Count the fireflies the peasant sees when he rests on the hill. In the season when the one who lights our eyes, and all the world least hides its face, and will soon sink to give the flies place to the gnat, the lights he sees along the valley floor might well be glowing in the vineyards that he gathers grapes in, or the fields that wore him out from tilling them that day. The same number of lights were strewn in the eighth ditch, gleaming, so I could see them when I came within sight of its base. The night looked rich, a lake of lights, and each light was a flame. Elias, whom the bears avenged when he was baited by small boys, once watched it flare Elijah's chariot majestically, drawn skyward when its horses pawed the air. No matter how he fixed it with his eyes, he made out nothing but the flame alone. He saw a little shining cloud arise, the glow surrounding where the fire had flown. Just so each flame here moves along the throat of this ditch, and none shows it is a theft of some vile sinner's form we may not note. I stood there on the bridge above the cleft, grasping a rock as I stretched out to sea. For sure I would have fallen had I not held on, and then my leader, seeing me look so intent, said, "All these flames are what false counselors must wear and be burned by." "Master," I said, "I'm sure now, having heard you speak of what I guessed, already I wanted to ask before you said a word about that fire divided at its peak, as if it were the pyre of those two sons of Oedipus who killed each other. Speak of who is in there. Are there two? Which ones?" He answered, "Two are punished there inside. Ulysses is in there, and Diomed. In vengeance now together they are tied, as one in wrath. They groan for pain and dread within the flame, and for the clever plan of the gift horse that opened up the gate for the noble seed from which great Rome began to first burst forth, and in that fiery state they rue their craft by which Deidamia gave them Achilles, and they feel the heat for what they stole from Troy and took so far, the stricken city sought its own defeat. Pallas Athena's image. There they are, the thieves of the Palladium. In there." "If they can speak," I told my guide, "I pray, if they can speak inside these lights they share, this light, I pray that you might let me stay. May it avail a thousand times this prayer, until that flame with double horn comes near. You see, I bend towards it with desire." And he, "Your prayer deserves praise, never fear, and therefore I will grant what you require. But guard your tongue. I'll be the one to speak. I understood what you would like to know, and they might scorn your language. They were Greek." After the flame had reached the time and place my guide thought fitting, thus he spoke to it. "You that are two within one fiery space, if while I lived you ever thought me fit to be respected when I wrote of you, if I was worthy of you, whether much or little, when I did my best to do you justice with my heightened lines, let such devotion from me sway you to stand still while one of you tells where, when he was lost, he went to die. Hearing my master's will, the larger of the flaming horns was tossed and murmured as if by the wind misled. Its point waved to and fro as if it were a tongue that spoke, a voice thrown out that said, "When I left Circe, having lived with her more than a year in Italy, before Aeneas got there, no love for my son, no duty to my father, and what's more, no love I owed Penelope, the one who would have been most glad, could overcome in me the passion that I had to gain experience of the world and know the sum of virtue, pleasure, wisdom, vice, and pain. Once more I set out on the open sea with just one ship, crewed by my loyal men, the stalwart who had not deserted me. As far as Spain I saw both shores, and then Morocco and Sardinia and those numberless islands that the sea surrounds. But men grow old and slow as the time goes, and so did we, and so we reached the bounds of voyaging, that narrow outlet marked by Hercules, so nobody should sail beyond, and anybody thus embarked knows, by those pillars, he is sure to fail. Seville on my right hand, I left behind Theuta on my left. Brothers, I said, dangers uncounted, and of every kind, fit to make other sailors die of dread, you have come through, and you have reached the west, and now our senses fade, their vigil ends. They ask to do the easy thing and rest. But in the brief time that remains, my friends, would you deny yourselves experience of that unpeopled world we'll find if we follow the sun out into the immense unknown? Remember now your pedigree. You were not born to live as brutes. Virtue and knowledge are your guiding lights. I gave with these words such an impulse to my crew for enterprise that I could not, to save my life, have held them back. We flew on oars like wings, our stern in that mad flight towards the morning. Always left we bore. Stars of the other pole we saw at night, and hours so low that from the ocean floor it never once arose. 5 times the light had kindled and then quenched beneath the moon, since first we ventured on our lofty task, when we could see a mountain, though not soon could see it clearly. Distance was a mask that made it dim, but it was high for sure, higher than anything I'd ever seen. It climbed into the sky. Who could be more elated than we were? Had not we been plunged straight away into deep sorrow, for the new land gave rise to a storm that struck our ship's forepart. 3 times the water led us in a circle, 4th time out of luck. Stern high, bow low, we went in. Overhead, somebody closed the sea, and we were dead.